accession number 18748, Reel 2.
Pete Saunders, Reel 2. So, can you tell me about preparations for going to Korea, please?
Yes, we came home and we went up to Norfolk, I think they went. Yes, did some bit of training up there. But I went out with an advance party. I went out with the, there was about 30 of us went out. I went out on the Empire Orwell. I went about six weeks before the battalion.
What was that voyage like?
Oh, it was okay. Yes, it was good, yeah. Some of those jocks were a bit nutty. They used to get drunk and try to beat everybody up. But on the whole, most of them were all right. A few of them were a bit nutty. But Glaswegians, tough Glaswegians. Yes, it was all right. Voyage, very pleasant voyage, really, I suppose. Not bad at all. All right. The only thing was, we was right there down the bottom of the, I think it was an F deck, as they go, A, B, C, D, F, right way down, and there used to be three bunks, one, two, three, all over, all together, and you had to get yourself and all your kit in this bunk, and I was lucky I had the top bunk, so I had a bit more room than the others, but, a bit squeezed. But I used to sleep on deck most of the time. Once we got into the warm climates, stay on deck all night, sleep on deck. You know, used to just sling a bit of a piece of matting down and just sleep on deck, stay there. And I think I slept on deck all the way back out to Korea.
How tall were you then?
I was about 6 foot, 5'11". Yeah, good fun. I always remember that the only thing about sleeping on deck was that the blokes who used to, the merchant, the seamen who ran the ship, it would give, they had to hose the deck down in the first thing, and that was their first job in the morning. They used to give one shout, oi! Then they don't turn the hose on. If you didn't get up and get out of the way, you got soaked. Yeah, it was, that was it. They didn't mess about. They just whoosh, get the hoses to deck. You used to get out, you used to learn to hear that shout and get.
What was the advance party supposed to do?
Well, I don't really know what we went out there for, to tell you the truth. I was thinking about this one, what we did. I know we were very lucky. The first job we got, we cut off a boat at Pusad, and they put us in charge of a Yankee beer warehouse. There was only 30 of us. We were supposed to be guarding this warehouse. It was enormous, and it was full of Yankee beer. So we guarded it.
Did any of it disappear?
Well, there was so much there, they couldn't. A bit of it did, but not a lot. No, I can always remember that. We was greeted as a boat, when the boat arrived at Pusan with this... they had an American band that used to greet all the boats, playing St. Louis Blue March. And it would dash up and down the quay playing St. Louis Blues March. It's probably Yankee band, yeah. Yeah, we had this beer warehouse. I mean, we was only there one day, and they shoved us up.
Which month did you arrive?
We must have got there. I left in May. It must have been June, yeah.
June 52?
Yes, 52, yeah.
What impression did you get of Korea on first sight?
Well, basics, all we remember, the train was a bit rickety, but we went across the Ham River and the bridge had obviously been bombed or shelled or whatever, and it was a rickety old bridge right across that Ham River, and it seemed to have been patched up. I would say repaired, it'd been patched up. It took the train, mind you. But, you know, you went across it. I can remember going across it, and it was all gaps and, you know, I mean, obviously it was strong enough to take the train, but it did look as if it had been blown up. It was a bit, it looked rickety. I don't suppose it was, but it looked rickety. Yeah. That was the Ham.
And where were you going to?
Well, we went. I think we just went near the Imjin. I suppose we must have been near the Imjin when we disembarked. Well, we must have. Well, but no, we didn't. We went to Seoul. That's right. We went to Seoul, and we stayed in Seoul a couple of nights. Not Seoul like it is today, though. It'd been devastated. It was, you know, it was all. Even that was a building that had been bombed or shelled or something. But you know, it was just a bit of a derelict building. We was there two or three nights, maybe one night, maybe two, maybe three nights. And then we moved up country to just behind the lines.
Is this the advance party?
Yes, the advance party. Yeah, so it was just I don't know where we went from. What we went to the. I think the mob we were leaving was the King's Home. It was Cosby's. Yes, it was the Cosby's. That's right. That's the mob we relieved. Yeah, so we were with them for a while because when the regiment came, the Cosby's already pulled out. So the regiment must have moved and rejoined the regiment before we went up the line first time. Mm.
So you were with the KOSB in the line, were you?
No. We were behind. We were with them behind.
What impression did the KOSB make on you?
Didn't see greatly at all. They were, I mean, no, I nothing that I can really recall. No.
Did they say anything to you about what it was like in Korea?
Oh, they used to give you the stories. Try and frighten you to death, didn't they?
What type of things did they say?
Chinese got a million aircraft, they kind of come over, it was a load of rubbish, it was, they were trying to frighten you, it was obviously, I mean, we were new boys, they were old boys, they were going out, they were trying to frighten us, but the Chinese got a big air force, and they kind of really come in and have a go at you.
And so you were waiting for the rest of the battalion?
I can't say where we rejoined them, but we rejoined them just behind the line somewhere before we went up. Went up to the Yongdo position. That was our first one.
To Yongdo?
Yongdo, yeah.
Which platoon and...
I was in A Company, 1st Platoon.
Do you remember anything about the leadership of that unit?
My platoon commander was Lieutenant Drysdale. And his father was... This is trouble, all this is going on safe, isn't it? His father was Lord Drysdale. And he had more money than that. And Lieutenant Drysdale used to get a box sent out to him every bloody month from home. Great big box of food and all the goodies. Mr. Drysdale. He had a dugout. And on the wall at the end of the dugout, he had a bloody wine rack. This is there. I kid you not. I don't know. I kid you. Because he made me his batman for a little while. I was his batman for a little while. I wasn't very keen, but I did the job. Yeah. On the end of his dugout was a bloody great wine rack. Every bloody wine you could think of was all in there. And one day... He went down to A Echelon for a day, which was behind the lines. He went out down for a day, he went down. And I was his batman, and I got a couple of my mates in, and we had some of his wine. He didn't know he had so much. He was... So we had some of his wine.
What was the wine like?
All right. He had everything. Yeah. Yeah.
What was he, a lieutenant?
Yeah, second lieutenant. Old Drysdale. I say his old man was Lord Drysdale of Lloyds of London or some bloody thing.
Do you remember anything about the NCOs?
At that time, Buck, of course, Buck Jones, he was our sergeant major. He's a great bloke, nice bloke. Lokeman, Sergeant Lokeman, he was a very nice bloke. Can't remember much about the corporals at the time. No. Didn't have, because being old Splunk, Drysdale's Batman, I had to, I was, didn't associate with him so much. I was forever trotting around keeping him happy. But, I can't think of the, I had a lot of mates, you know, but can't really remember the ranks of the corporals. Buck Jones, of course, as I said, and Blondie Lokeman. But I can't think of any others.
And what was it like at this Yongdo position?
Oh, it's all right. We did heck of a lot of patrols. We were far enough away not to be bothered. We had a lot of shelling, heck of a lot of shelling. And we used to always shell, I should say, we were shell practically every day. They used to, but we did lots and lots and lots of patrols. And unfortunately, I was the batman at the time, and he lumbered me with the 88 set, wireless operator. And the 88 set, if you ever see a Scotty with an 88 set, they were bloody enormous. They were bloody great big things to put on you. And they weighed a ton. And because it was so heavy, they didn't give me a rifle or a sting gun. He said, "Here, you can have this." So I used the officer's pistol. This is so bloody silly. I had the officer's pistol. But he said, "I've only got 6 bullets for this pistol, so don't use it." So I've figured it out that it will fire if the 9mm, which we use for a sting gun, but unfortunately it would fire them, but it wouldn't eject them because the 9mm hasn't got a rim to pull out. So the 6 bullets they had for the free, is a 3.38, I think it was, that was okay, you could use them, but after that you could put another 6 bullets in, but they wouldn't come out, so you had 12 bullets, actually a lot. I mean, you know, I didn't use it much yet. I don't think I used it, but it was, yeah, bloody 88 set, bloody great thing. I was pleased to get rid of that because it went off heavy. It was heavy.
Did it seem to work well?
Oh, yeah, I suppose it did, yeah. I can't really remember. All I remember it was that blue and heavy. Yes, it did, yes. Yeah.
How did they carry out the patrols?
Well, I mean, we were out every night after night after night. I did a lot of patrol activity out there because, as I say, being the wireless operator at the beginning, I was probably lumbered it practically nearly every night. And then as I progressed up and became a lance corporal and a corporal, I was leading patrols. So consequently, I did a heck of a lot of patrols over the, what was it, June till, I was out right out there till the end, so 53. So I must have done a hell of a lot of patrol work, hell of a lot of patrol work. It was all patrol work.
Was it frightening on patrol?
I got used to it, mate. I don't know. Sometimes it was very frightening. Yes, sometimes. It depends where you were. Lots of places, lots of times, it was just plain boring.
What was the worst position you were in?
The hook. That was in 1953. We took over from the hook. The Duke of Wellington Regiment had a battle up there in about May 53, and they got pretty badly cut up. And we relieved them, took over from them. They pulled back, we took over, and we were there when we had to clear it up, and it was a mess. It was a mess. We were digging it out, and there were trenches there that were 8 or 9 feet deep, and they had been filled in with the shelling, had filled the earth, had filled it all in, so we had to dig them out. It was a bit of a mess. We had to clear it up, and of course we did a lot of patrol work, and that was they had a ridge there, Ronson. There used to be 3 ridges from the hook. There was the Warsaw, Greenfinger and Ronson, but Ronson was the worst. And you'd go out there and you used to be frightened. Yeah, you could get frightened. Yeah. It was.
What was so special about Ronson?
That was where they used to. They were at the Chinks were at the end of Ronson, or Ronson and Greenfinger at the end, and they would, if they were coming, they'd come that way. That was the way they'd come, and there was always shelling, always there was always patrol activity, and a lot of trouble up Hook, hell of a lot of trouble up Hook. Yeah.
Did you have any narrow escapes yourself?
Well, yes, I suppose I did. I was shelled so many times, and you know, a lot of them are so funny, really, because there was humour to it. I mean, I was at the Hook, I was in the toilet. We used to, the toilets were dug in the side of the trenches, and a bit of corrugated dark iron on top, and that, you know, and you sit there, and I was sitting there, because don't get it, it was cold as well at that there. Our dress was 5 layers down there and 7 layers up here, but, oh, sorry.
Layers on your legs and seven on your
top,
chest.
Yeah, and we had long johns on, but the long johns had an opening in the front and an opening at the back, so you didn't have to take them off, right? So there I am on the toilet with an opening at it. And overcomes a lot. And bang, 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 bang. And they got very close. Bang, 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 bang. And of course, I jumped up quick. Trousers, pants went in, and the lot was inside. Bloody mess. And this is when you know you better who your friends are.
So, was it a miserable time in the front line?
Miserable. I don't know. I suppose it was. Yeah. Well, it was. It was gutty because I think the worst ones I didn't used to. I didn't like stand two in the morning. I hated stand two because as it got light, the idea was that you used to stand there because that was when they come over the top. And you stand it similar to that they had in the First World War. You used to stand to for a half hour before first light and half hour after. So for an hour you stand in there. It used to be, and in the winter it was bloody cold. That is, if you ask any most of the Korean blokes, it was bloody cold out there. It was cold out there. I used to wear 5 layers down and 7 up top. And even then, it was cold. God, it was cold. It was a cold, bloody country. At one position, I can't really remember what it was. As I say, I did so much activity out there. But it was so cold, you couldn't go out. If you went out at the first patrol as a dusk, you would go out till midnight. So it would dust to midnight, and you'd be relieved at midnight to dawn. You couldn't stay out there all night. It was too cold. And they had these tins of self-heating soup. And very good they were. But you had to remember to punch a hole in them, otherwise they'd explode. You just ripped the top of them off, and they self-ignited. And these soups, and you punched a hole in the top. And they were good. They really were. I used to get really hot. And I used to get, oh, good. Good. It was cold country. Yes.
Did anybody ever get frostbite?
I was frostbite. I thought I had it at one time. I don't know what it was. Whether it was actually frostbite, but we used to do everything to get. We used to get straw lay in the bottom of our pits, our rifle pits, and so you could get that round your feet, you know.
Did that do any good?
Yeah. We used to have thin socks, thick socks, boots had insoles inside the boots, and then, of course, then you would stand in the straw. We used to have these long johns, that was the first. Then we had heavy insole trousers, and then we'd have the BD trousers. Then we'd have the white parky trousers on top, and then you'd put your whites on top of that if it was in snow. You didn't have your whites on all the time. And on top you used to get your a vest, string vest, that's right, string vest, shirt, thin pullover, thick pullover, BD jacket and parka on top. That was it. And you'd have mittens would come up here, and then you'd get a thin pair of gloves and a big thick pair of gloves, and mittens with one finger and thumb, and all the rest four. They were, but you used to take them off and keep the other gloves on because you couldn't use you couldn't get in your trigger finger. They kept the cold out, but they were because you couldn't work with them. You know, you had to get rid of them.
What about your face and head?
Well, of course, the parka used to come down and it had a wire around it, and you'd literally fold it so you could have a slit. Yeah, we had some balaclavas. Yeah.
Did you get body infestations?
Oh yeah, that was normal. That was. I did bath for what was it? 3 weeks. One time, and we used to get down. We used to go down when it was things were quiet. We'd go down to A Echelon to get a decoke. You know, we used to say a decoke, have a wash. You know, get a bath. But the baths, you know, 45-gallon drum. They used to cut them, you know. But they would. They used to cut them. I must say, they used to cut them cold because they were all ragged. And they had these in the bathhouse. These 45-gallon drums, but all the edges were like metal. I mean, they were all sharp and ragged. Yeah, that was our bath, 45-gallon drums. Echelon, that was.
Did you welcome getting a bath?
Oh, crikey, yeah, not off. God, we were rotten.
Was it lice?
Well, no, but we had a thing. There was a thing that was going around out there called Manchurian fever. Have you heard any of the Manchurian fever? Yeah. Well, they reckon they got it from the rats, because there was a lot of rats out there, you see. And, when this Manchurian, they said that as it got colder, this Manchurian fever, they would die out, but it didn't. Because as we went into that underground, the rats went underground with us. And, somebody must have said about this.
Don't think
no.
So.
Go on. Oh, yeah, not off.
Did you get it?
No. Really, no, thanks. It was a rough do.
Did any of your comrades get it?
Oh, yeah, it was a rough do. Yeah.
What were the symptoms of that?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it was very similar to a very heavy flu or a malaria or anything like that, that sort of thing. But I think one of the ways of curing it was the old lumbar puncture, and both weren't very keen on that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a puncture in the lower back.
Yeah, you know, up the lower spine. Took the fluid off. Yeah. Oh, yes, it was a naughty do, that, the old Manchurian fever.
Did you fall sick in Korea?
I had a touch of malaria, but there again, you see, out there, you see, they had this, what they called, mosquito repellent. I don't think it used to repel them, I used to attract them. Because I mean, you're all right in reserve, you could have nets, but how can you have nets on when you're out in the line, out in the valley? And I mean, those paddy fields, they were, because the Koreans used to fertilise their paddy fields with human manure. And it was very funny to be often laying on a paddy bun and laying there with just your nose above the line and seeing a turd floating by. Yeah.
Did the mosquitoes torment you?
They did, yeah. What a bloody things. I swear they were so big they used to pick you up and carry you away.
Exaggeration.
So, what symptoms did you have with the malaria?
I'll tell you what, malaria, I think, it's very like a very, very, shall we say, a very, very heavy flu, shall we say. It's, you know, sweat buckets, you freeze, you feel awful. Yeah.
Did you make a full recovery from it?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, well, yeah. I had a taste of it when I came home. I was working as a postman. And I was walking down the Harrow Road delivering. And I felt bloody awful. And I rushed into the chemist, shaking like, I know what you've got. Give me a dose of quinine. It showed put me up. I spent the time with it. Yeah.
The chemist realised what you had.
Yeah, you know it was, yeah. But don't forget, in 1950s, this was just early 50s. I mean, folks, I suppose it's still in their minds, you know, things were like that. Yeah, yeah.
And the quinine worked?
Yeah. We had, out there, we were issued with Paladrin. That was it, Paladrin. We used to have to do it every day, Paladrin. And, it was pretty good, that Paladrin.
So why did you contract malaria if you took the Paladrin?
I don't know. I don't think I had it badly. But I don't know. I had my Paladrin. I used to take it regularly. I mean, it is possible that I missed it. Because, as I say, we were up the line all the time. And, I mean, things did get a little bit chaotic. Yeah. Yes.
Was that the only thing you got, malaria?
Yeah, that's about it. A little bit of dose. Yeah, that's about it. Didn't catch any bullets, if that's what you mean.
You ran
wounded. I was hit by a bullet, but unfortunately it was a ricochet, so I was all right. We were going out. We went on. It was getting towards the end of it because I was a full corporal at the time, and I was on a daylight layout out in the valley, myself, an Australian, second bat of the 2nd Battalion Royal Australian Regiment, and another bloke, can't remember who he was. And we found three bodies which we'd missed. We had this battle on Pimlico night in November 52. Well, they counted for everybody except for three. And we found them in May 53, when I was on this day out layout. And so consequently, at night time, we went back and I reported and told my officer about it. And he said, oh, yes, can you lead us out there so we can bring them in, these three blokes in, the last three, you see. So we led the way, the three of us, me and this Aussie and this other bloke. But we went along this path. We went along this path, and there was a dry paddy field to the right, and there was something solid to be left on. It was trees or a rocky outcrop or something. But we went along this path, and I was a bit slow. But mind you, I'd been out there a while there, and I was a bit more cautious. Well, this digger, Australian, was from the 2nd Battalion, and they'd only just got out there, and he was a bit more keen than me, and he pushed in front of me because I was going too slow, and he walked straight into it, and we walked into an ambush, and he caught all the bullets, he caught the lot, and I got hit by a ricochet, and this sounds so silly, but it is his God's honest truth. I felt this hit me. I knew I'd been hit. And I said to myself, and this must have happened in a split second, God, I've been hit. Do I lay down and yell, or do I jump for it? Because the buggers are still firing at me. So I jumped for it, and I jumped into this dry paddy field. And this must have gone through my head in a split second. And